The 55th plenary meeting of the 10th Emergency Special Session of the General Assembly is called to order. The General Assembly will continue its consideration of Agenda Item 5 entitled, and I quote, "Illegal Israeli Actions in Occupied East Jerusalem and the Rest of the Occupied Palestinian Territory." Before proceeding further, members are reminded that at its 54th plenary meeting of the 10th Emergency Session yesterday, the Assembly decided that the debate on Agenda Item 5 would be suspended at 11 a.m. today to proceed to the consideration of draft resolution A/ES10/L31, Revision 1, and that the debate would continue after the action on the draft resolution. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the United Arab Emirates.
Sayyid Ra'is.
Thank you, Mr. President. At the outset, I would like to congratulate His Excellency Philemon Yang on assuming the presidency of the 79th session of the General Assembly and convening this 10th emergency resumed session. I also thank His Excellency Dennis Francis for his distinguished leadership of the work of the previous session. I associate myself with the statements delivered on behalf of the Arab Group, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation Group, and the Non-Aligned Movement. The United Arab Emirates welcomed the advisory opinion issued by the International Court of Justice on the 19th of July regarding the legal consequences of Israel's policies in the occupied Palestinian territory. This opinion is an important step in the course of the Palestinian cause, as it affirmed Israel's legal obligations under international law. The United Arab Emirates participated with many other states and international organizations in the International Court of Justice's advisory opinion proceedings on the matter. We affirm then that the Israeli occupation is illegal and must end. This is a position that reflects the international community's collective will. Today, the United Arab Emirates supports the draft resolution submitted by the State of Palestine, which builds on the Court's advisory opinion and sets out a roadmap for moving forward, which includes demanding Israel to end its occupation within 12 months, cease its settlement activities, and halt measures that violate the historical status quo at holy sites in Jerusalem. We look forward to the General Assembly responding positively to this advisory opinion, and we also emphasize the importance of the Security Council also translating this advisory opinion into practical steps. Mr. President, this session is being held after nearly a year of devastating war on the Gaza Strip. Over that period, we have witnessed an unprecedented humanitarian tragedy in our modern history, a tragedy that has claimed the lives of more than 41,000 innocent civilians and displaced the vast majority of Gaza's population. In this context, the United Arab Emirates affirms the importance of the following. First, an immediate and comprehensive ceasefire in Gaza must be achieved. Full and unhindered access for humanitarian assistance to all those in need must also be ensured, and all hostages and detainees must be released. And Security Council resolutions of relevance, including resolutions 2735, 2728, 2720, and 2712, must be implemented. In this regard, we express our appreciation for the mediation efforts undertaken by Egypt, Qatar, and the United States. Second, Priority must be given to improving the health situation in the Gaza Strip. The return of polio after its eradication 25 years ago is a dangerous indicator of the collapse of the health system in the Strip. In this context, the United Arab Emirates and on September 11th contributed to the largest medical evacuation from Gaza since the war began. This was done in cooperation with the World Health Organization. We have also funded a campaign to offer polio vaccines to more than 640,000 children in Gaza. Third, all settlement activity in the West Bank, including in East Jerusalem, must be halted. The escalating Israeli military incursions and settler attacks must also be stopped. Moreover, the existing historical and legal status quo and the Hashemite guardianship of the holy sites in Jerusalem must be respected. Fourth, we must work to defuse this conflict by relaunching a credible peace process that leads to a two-state solution and to the establishment of an independent Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital, as the only way to achieve a just and comprehensive peace in the region. In this regard, the UAE welcomes the State of Palestine's commencement last week of its exercising of its additional rights and privileges at the United Nations. We look forward to the day when Palestine obtains full membership in this organization. We also welcome the wave of recognitions of the State of Palestine and invite other countries to take similar steps in that regard. In conclusion, Mr. President, the Palestinian people have long suffered under occupation. The time has come to end this suffering and to ensure for them a safe and stable future, just like other peoples of the world. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of the United Arab Emirates. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Senegal.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, at the outset, I should like to congratulate you on your election to preside over the August General Assembly of the United Nations. We'd like to express to you Senegal's commitment. Rest assured that you can count on our solidarity and our support to help you make your term a successful one. Senegal would like to align itself with the statements delivered by Cameroon and Uganda, respectively on behalf of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the Non-Aligned Movement. I should like to welcome the fact that the General Assembly has repaired a historical injustice by allowing the State of Palestine to sit by our side. Furthermore, once again, I'd like to invite member states, which have not yet done so, to recognize Palestine and to assist Palestine's efforts geared towards becoming a fully fledged member state. My delegation bows down piously before the memory of thousands of Palestinians, hundreds of humanitarian workers, as well as dozens of reporters and journalists killed in Palestine as a result of the repeated and continuous attacks committed by the occupying power. Mr. President, is it really necessary to remind you all that the population in Gaza has for 11 months now been subjected to a truly collective punishment, resulting in the death of over 41,000 people, the majority of them women and children? In addition, disease, famine and destruction have been sown. My delegation would like to express its serious disquiet, prompted by a recent report tabled by Ms. Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, OPT. The report concludes that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the threshold indicating that the commission of the crime of genocide by Israel has been met, end of quote. this situation, which is affecting a people that only aspires to live freely and sovereignly on its land, must end. This is what our humanity calls for. It's what the law requires. Mr. President, last but not least, my delegation would like to commend the advisory opinion handed down by the ICJ on the 19th of July 2024 on the legal consequences arising from the policies and practices of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and the illegality of Israel's ongoing presence in the OPT. This opinion confirms what we all already know, the illegality of the occupation and the violation of the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people. Palestinians have the right to live in a state that is independent, contiguous, viable, and sovereign, with East Jerusalem as its capital. Mr. President, aside from the current situation in Gaza, which requires the cessation of hostilities and unstinting solidarity, in addition to that, the international community is still grappling with that persistent question: when and how can we do justice to the Palestinian people? This draft resolution is an opportunity for all of our states to take one more step in that direction. This is why, in paragraph G of its opinion, the ICJ recommends for the United Nations, specifically the General Assembly and the Security Council, and here I quote, to consider the precise modalities and the further action required to bring to an end as rapidly as possible Israel's unlawful presence in the OPT, end of quote. This is why Senegal co-sponsored this draft resolution. This is why we hope that it will be adopted by a broad majority. Mr. President, by way of conclusion, my delegation would like to reiterate its call for an immediate and lasting ceasefire, for full, safe, and unfettered humanitarian access in the Gaza Strip, as well as for the implementation of relevant Security Council resolutions, as well as the provisional measures ordered by the ICJ. It is through these collective efforts that we'll be able to put an end to the humanitarian catastrophe unfolding in Gaza. In the name of international solidarity, we must all draw deep on our humanity to revive the hope of a lasting peace between Israel and Palestine. This is the best guarantee of security for us all. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Senegal. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Timor-Leste.
Thank you, Mr. President, for convening this emergency special session. My delegation congratulates you on your election as President of the General Assembly for its 79th session. Mr. President and Excellencies, Timor-Leste, a nation born from a long struggle for self-determination and sovereignty, remains committed to justice, peace, and the rights of all peoples. Our experience rooted in colonialism, foreign occupation, and the quest for national identity informs our perspective on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This statement must be understood in the context of Palestine's right to statehood. My delegation respects the right to self-defense of all member states of the United Nations, including Israel. As a nation that faces similar challenges, we firmly advocate for the protections of human rights and for peaceful resolutions to international disputes. Our position on this matter is grounded in the core principle of sovereignty, equality, and international law. Understanding the historical context, we recognize the Palestinian people's decade-long endurance of occupation, displacement, and fundamental rights violations. Our commitment to self-determination compels us to stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people and their legitimate aspiration for an independent state. International law, particularly UN resolutions, support Palestinian rights and condemns illegal settlements and actions in the occupied territories. Timor-Leste believes these settlements alter the demographic balance and undermine the two-state solution. Actions in Jerusalem, especially those altering the status quo of holy sites, incite tensions and highlight the precariousness of human rights under occupation. As a UN member, Timor-Leste urges collective action to ensure that the voices of oppressed communities are heard. The Palestinian plight should evoke not only sympathy, but also concrete international responses that uphold justice and human dignity. We maintain that dialogue and diplomacy must precede violence and unilateral actions. Our government affirms international solidarity with oppressed people, drawing parallels between our struggle for independence and the Palestinian quest for statehood. We advocate for Palestine recognition as a sovereign state, which is essential for asserting Palestinian rights and fostering meaningful discussion. Supporting the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 67/19, which recognizes Palestine as a non-member observer state, underscores our acknowledgement of Palestinian sovereignty and self-determination. Timor-Leste emphasizes the protection of civilian population in conflict zones. Palestinian suffering due to military action and Gaza's humanitarian blockade warrants urgent attention. We stand firm against violence and call for accountability for war crimes. Timor-Leste's national position is clear. We seek justice and peace based on international law, human rights, and self-determination. Our support for the Palestinian cause is unwavering, motivated by our shared history and commitment to a just world. Guided by these values, we'll be voting in favor of the draft resolution to be presented today. Our vote represents a call for renewed dialogue and diplomacy. We believe that peaceful coexistence between Israelis and Palestinians is not only possible, but imperative. By supporting the resolution, we advocate for a future where both people can live with dignity, security, and mutual respect. The vote in favor of the draft resolution embodies our dedication to the principle of justice and human rights. It reflects our historical struggle and our unwavering hope for a world where all nations and people can exercise their rights freely. We stand with those who seek peace, and it is our responsibility to contribute to a just resolution for the Palestinian people, reaffirming our commitment to a fair and equitable global community. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Timor-Leste. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Djibouti.
Monsieur le Président, de prime abord, je voudrais vous réitérer...
President, on behalf of the Republic of Djibouti, I would like to extend our heartfelt gratitude to you and our congratulations as you were elected to preside over the 79th session.
Itself with the statements made by the OIC, the Arab Group, and the NAM, the present resolution is a test for the members of the United Nations. It tests whether we truly believe what we say when we call for respect for the rule of law. It tests whether we are truly committed to a peaceful solution to the Israel-Palestine conflict based on international law, as our prior resolutions stipulate. It tests whether we are willing to support the two-state solution with Israel and Palestine, two sovereign and independent states living side by side in peace and security. It tests whether we are sincere in declaring our commitment to the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination. If we are truly committed to these ends, all of which are reflected in numerous prior resolutions adopted by the Assembly and by the Security Council, then we must vote in favor of the current resolution and approve it by an overwhelming majority. The advisory opinion issued by the International Court of Justice constitutes an authoritative statement of international law by the world's highest and most respected authority on international law. It demands our respect and it demands our support. The resolution before us is the appropriate vehicle for our expression of that support. The text of the resolution echoes the language of the court and is entirely consistent with it. Everything in this resolution reflects the findings of the court as set forth in its advisory opinion. This opinion did not appear so sponte. It was requested by the General Assembly in December 2022. It is the court's response to the specific questions that the General Assembly referred to it. After considering the written and oral submissions of more than 50 states and international organizations, and reviewing the voluminous evidence submitted by the Secretary General and the participating states, the court has given us its answers to our questions, which now constitute authoritative rulings on international law. These rulings establish with the force of international law the rights of the Palestinian people, the legal obligations on the state of Israel, the legal obligations on all other states with which all states committed to the rule of law must comply, and the legal obligations on the United Nations itself. Having asked the court for its opinion and having received it, it falls to all member states to respect it and comply the obligations that are now incumbent upon us. Mr. President, the Secretary General in his report of October the 25th, 2023, expressly linked the growth and expansion of Israeli settlements to the permanent acquisition of Palestinian territory. The facts are indisputable. Under the umbrella of its prolonged military occupation, Israel has been steadily annexing the occupied Palestinian territory, and it continues to do so. Its declared objective is the permanent acquisition of this territory and the exercise of sovereignty over it in defiance of the prohibition on the acquisition of territory by force, a peremptory norm of international law. In the words of the African Union, the prolonged Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories is in itself unlawful. It qualifies as an internationally wrongful act of a continuing character. The policies and practices associated with it amount to de facto and de jure annexation of the Palestinian territories, which violates the prohibition on the acquisition of territory by force. This is why the court's opinion is so critical and so urgent. It very clearly establishes that the two-state solution that is so vital to the needs of both peoples requires that the main obstacle to that solution, the interminable Israeli occupation of Palestine, be brought to an end. That is why the court has ruled in the clearest possible terms that international law demands that this illegal occupation be terminated as rapidly as possible. The modalities, as the court stated in equally clear terms, are for the General Assembly as well as for the Security Council to implement. The present resolution is the vehicle for implementing the court's ruling. It is, as I said earlier, a test of our commitment to the rule of law, Djibouti strongly urges all member states to support it. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Djibouti. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Bangladesh.
Mr. President, I thank you for convening this resume emergency special session of the General Assembly in the context of the ongoing genocidal war perpetrated against the helpless civilian populations in Gaza and the historic advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice on 19th July 2024, issued upon the request of this August General Assembly and declaring the Israeli occupation in the occupied Palestinian territories illegal. Bangladesh aligns itself with the statements delivered by Cameroon and Uganda on behalf of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the Non-Aligned Movement, respectively. Mr. President, the ongoing atrocities in Gaza against unarmed civilian Palestinians have already caused more than 41,000 deaths, including of more than 14,000 children and more than 11,000 women. And this is an undercount, as most of the missing 10,000-plus Palestinians are believed to be buried under the rubbles. More than 100,000 people have been injured, with 1.9 million people displaced living under inhuman conditions. Unfortunately, despite resolutions passed in the UN Security Council and UN General Assembly, this massacre by besieged civilian population continues unabated before the naked eyes of the whole world. An immediate ceasefire, as stipulated in the Security Council Resolution 2728 of 25th March 2024, remains elusive till date. We have also witnessed hundreds of deaths in the occupied West Bank since October 7. These are not only grave violations of human rights, but also gross violations of all international humanitarian laws, including those on the protection of civilians. These ongoing indiscriminate killings of civilians cannot be acceptable by any standard. The international community must act and must bring an end to such grave crimes against humanity. The perpetrators need to be held accountable. We welcome the historic verdict of the ICJ on 19 July 2024 and call upon Israel to fully abide by this. The illegal occupation of the Palestinian lands must end within a specific time frame. The UN Security Council should immediately recommend full membership of the State of Palestine to the United Nations. As an immediate first step to implement the historic advisory opinion of the ICJ, we demand that Israel must stop its military operations in Gaza and in West Bank and withdraw its troops from Gaza and agree to an unconditional permanent ceasefire. Israel must also stop building new illegal settlements and must dismantle all existing settlements and evacuate all from the Palestinian lands. The United Nations and its member states must undertake all measures to establish Palestinian sovereignty in all Palestinian lands as per pre-1967 borders. We must press Israel to end its apartheid-like illegal colonial occupation of the Palestinian territories. Israel must be compelled to provide reparations to the Palestinian civilians, victims as part of its compliance to the ICJ directives. Mr. President, the advisory opinion of the ICJ is indeed an important addition in the efforts of clarifying the international legal regime's non-approval of Israel's illegal acts of occupation in the occupied Palestinian territory, in addition to numerous UN Security Council and General Assembly resolutions. We need to uphold the verdict of the ICJ and need to undertake tangible collective measures to end the more than seven-decade-old miseries of the Palestinian people. We also appreciate the indictments of the International Criminal Court related to the war in Gaza in the midst of formidable challenges. The international community needs to stand beside the ICC in this regard. We believe that for the perpetrators of mass atrocity crimes, this is important that their accountability is ensured. We hope that all segments of the UN system would cooperate in this regard. We appreciate the Secretary General's and the UN Human Rights High Commissioner's statements so far about the abysmal humanitarian and human rights situation in Gaza, and would expect that all member states would address the grave situation without any double standard. Mr. President, the draft resolution AES 10/L31 Rev 1 of this emergency session, special session, calls for the implementation of the ICJ verdict, and the United Nations system and its member states need to undertake all necessary measures to that end. The adoption of this resolution today, in our view, would be another important step towards outlining the legal consequences of Israel if it does not agree to end its occupation. Bangladesh has co-sponsored the draft resolution, and we call upon all member states to vote in favor of the draft resolution. In conclusion, Mr. President, while we are discussing watershed outcome documents like the Pact of the Future, Declaration for the Future Generation, and Global Digital Compact, which are to be adopted in this month, this is regrettable that the international community is still watching such mass atrocities to continue in Gaza in particular, and such illegal repressive occupation of Palestinian lands in general. This cannot continue any longer. Therefore, we demand actions so that our Palestinian brothers and sisters get rid of the scourge of occupation and atrocities soon and can be able to live peacefully as an independent nation. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Bangladesh. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the United Republic of Tanzania.
Mr. President, the United Republic of Tanzania wish to congratulate you and the Vice President for your well-deserved election as the President of the 79th session of the General Assembly, and wish to assure you my delegation full support and cooperation as you discharge your noble duties. My delegation associates itself with a statement delivered by the Non-Aligned Movement. However, we wish to complement it with the following remarks. Mr. President, as we gathered here today to decide on the legality of the Israel occupation of Palestinian territory, the entire territory of the Gaza Strip is under full military control of Israel Defense Force. Situation in Palestine is worsening, whereby the number of civilian deaths and injuries are drastically increasing. Gaza is on the dire of humanitarian situation. Destruction of housing and key infrastructure is critical, and the humanitarian access remains severely constrained. According to the Senior Humanitarian and Reconstruction Coordinator for Gaza, Sigrid Kaag, the number of injured is now 93,000, which is among the highest in the recent time, and the death toll since October 2023 has risen to more than 41,000. Under the situation, there is a justification and urgent need for a General Assembly and Security Council to make a necessary intervention to stop further human suffering in the Palestinian territory. It is in the long-standing position of the United Republic of Tanzania to oppose any form of colonialism or act of one state illegally occupy another country's territory. For this reason, we categorically oppose illegal Israel actions in the occupied East Jerusalem and the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory. In addition, Tanzania supports the advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice, ICJ, on the legal consequences arising from the policies and practice of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem. Furthermore, my delegation will vote in favor of draft resolution advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice on the legal consequences arising from Israel policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and from the illegality of Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territory submitted by State of Palestine. Mr. President, in conclusion, Tanzania reiterates it is a historical and principal commitment to the realization of the ultimate goal of two-state solution. with Israel and Palestine living peaceful side by side. Let us work together to achieve a lasting peace in the Middle East, where all nations and people can live in dignity and freedom, so that the whole world can enjoy peace and tranquility. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of the United Republic of Tanzania. I now give the floor to the distinguished representatives of Maldives.
I thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I thank for resuming the 10th Emergency Special Session at a defining moment for international law. The International Court of Justice has spoken clearly. Israel's actions constitute a violation of international law. Now it is our responsibility to respond with decisive actions. The suffering of the Palestinian people did not begin last year. It did not begin with the building of the wall. It did not begin with the events of October 7th. For nearly 8 decades, the Palestinian people have endured the harsh realities of occupation, apartheid, and oppression. Mr. President, during the proceedings of the case with the ICJ, the Maldives had submitted both written and oral statements in support of Palestine. That is because we stand on the side of justice and we stand for upholding the rule of law. The resolution before us today is simple and direct. It calls for Israel to withdraw its forces from the occupied Palestinian territories. It demands an end to Israel's illegal policies and practices. But it is not just a call to Israel. It is a call to all of us. It demands that member states act. We must not turn a blind eye to those violations. It is time that the United Nations imposes sanctions, including an arms embargo on Israel. This is not a symbolic gesture. It is an important step to prevent further violations and hold Israel accountable. The world should not and cannot legitimize Israel's unlawful occupation. No law-abiding nation should. We must also stop any form of aid that supports or sustains the occupation. This is not a matter of political preference. It is an obligation under international law. If we fail to act, we undermine the very principles of justice, equality upon which this institution is built. The credibility of the UN and the rule of law are at stake. This is why the Maldives fully supports the call for reparations from Israel. The damage inflicted on Palestine must be acknowledged and the harms must be recorded. Reparations are not just about financial compensation. They are about justice. They recognize the long-standing suffering endured by the Palestinian people and the need for accountability. Mr. President, the starting point for an enduring solution to the Middle East must be granting of full membership of the United Nations to the State of Palestine. This is not only a fundamental element of a lasting solution, it is also a moral imperative. Israel must recognize and respect the sovereignty and independence of Palestine on the lands that Israel has occupied since 1967, with East Jerusalem as Palestine's capital. Israel must allow the safe return and resettlement of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who were forcibly driven out of their homes. This is not a matter of legality, it's a matter of humanity too. The right to return is essential to achieving justice and lasting peace in the region. We also call on the International Criminal Court to act swiftly. the ICC must issue the arrest warrants issued on Israeli officials requested by the prosecutor in May this year. Israel's actions, including genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity, must not go unpunished. ICC must ensure that impunity does not prevail and justice is served. We call on all member states to take their obligations seriously. We must refuse in any form of military, financial, or material support that enables Israel's illegal actions. This is not time for evasion or delay. This is the time to draw strength from our collective humanity to honor our legal and moral obligations. The Maldives remains steadfast in its commitment to justice for Palestine. What needs to be done is here before us in this resolution. To realize it, we must resolve to act collectively with humanity in front and center to safeguard the future of the Palestine and Palestinian people. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Maldives. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Spain.
Mr. President, the situation in Gaza is a human and humanitarian drama that continues almost a year after the terrible terrorist attacks that Hamas perpetrated against Israel on the 7th of October of last year that we've condemned repeatedly. Spain continues to demand an agreement for an immediate ceasefire that allows for the massive, unhindered entry of humanitarian assistance to Gaza, the immediate release of all Israeli hostages in line with resolutions of the Security Council. We support the work, the mediation efforts of the United States, Qatar, and Egypt, and urge the parties to end violence. We condemn the recent attacks against humanitarian workers in Gaza, including an attack against the UNRWA school in Nusayrat last week, and we recall the obligation established under international humanitarian law to protect humanitarian workers. The provisional measures demanded by the International Court of Justice continue to be without having been implemented. Since the 10th of September, the observer mission of Palestine occupies the seat in alphabetical order corresponding to it in this room, which is more than a symbolic step because it means a step forward toward the goal of fully-fledged membership that Spain supported in voting in this General Assembly last May, on the 10th of May. And that was then followed at the national level by the recognition by Spain of the state of Palestine on the 28th of May. Mr. President, the International Court of Justice issued an advisory opinion on the 19th of July on the legal consequences of the occupation of Palestine and clearly established that the occupation of Palestinian territory is illegal and must end as soon as possible. It also established the obligation by Israel to cease all settlement activity and evacuate settlers from Palestine territory, providing full reparations of damage caused. Also, it established the obligation of all states not to recognize the current situation or facilitate occupation. The court determines that the Security Council, and in particular this General Assembly, must take the necessary actions to end occupation as soon as possible. With this in mind, Spain supports and co-sponsors the draft resolution on the advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice that was presented before this General Assembly and welcomes the readiness of the permanent mission of Palestine to introduce suggestions and comments to the draft. This resolution is a milestone in the implementation of the two-state solution, the only way towards peace, and it must be reflected in the actions of all organs of the United Nations and the members of the international community. This is a resolution that shows our commitment to peace, international security, but it also our firm defense of the international order and our consistent position in demanding the end of the use of force in relations among members of the international community. Thank you very much.
I thank the distinguished representative of Spain. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Sierra Leone.
Mr. President, Sierra Leone aligns this statement with a statement delivered by the representatives of Cameroon on behalf of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and Uganda on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement. Sierra Leone further thanks the State of Palestine for the historic introduction of Draft Resolution A/ES 10L.3 Rev 1, and states without equivocation that we will support and will vote in favor of the resolution. And this is why, by Resolution A/77/247, adopted on 30th December 2022, the General Assembly requested an advisory opinion from the International Court of Justice, pursuant to Article 65 of the Statute of the Court, on the questions regarding, and I quote, the legal consequences arising from the ongoing violation by Israel of the right of Palestinian people to self-determination from its prolonged occupation, settlement, and annexation of the Palestinian territory occupied since 1967, and how do the policies and practices of Israel referred to affect the legal status of the occupation, and what are the legal consequences that arises from all states, for all states and the United Nations, end of quote. The ICJ, the principal judicial organ of the United Nations, the World's Court, on 19th July 2024, duly obliged by responding to the questions posed by the General Assembly through its advisory opinion, with its clear and unambiguous opinion that inter alia, and I quote, that the state of Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territory is unlawful. The state of Israel is under the obligation to bring to an end its unlawful presence in the occupied Palestinian territory as rapidly as possible. That the state of Israel is under an obligation to cease immediately all new settlement activities and to evacuate all settlers from the occupied Palestinian territory. That the state of Israel has the obligation to make reparation for damage caused to all the natural or legal persons concerned in the occupied Palestinian territory. End of quote. Mr. President, the ICJ, in its legal and moral clarity, proceeded to outline the obligations of all states with respect to its opinion, to the effect that, and I quote, all states are under an obligation not to recognize as legal the situation arising from the unlawful presence of the State of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, and not to render aid or assistance in maintaining the situation created by the continued presence of the State of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, end of quote. Further, the court opined that international organizations, including the United Nations, are under an obligation not to recognize as legal the situation arising from the unlawful presence of the State of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory. And finally, the International Court of Justice called on the United Nations, and especially the General Assembly, which requested this opinion, and the Security Council to consider the precise modalities and further action required to bring to an end as rapidly as possible the unlawful presence of the State of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory. In welcoming the advisory opinion of the ICJ, Sierra Leone is of the view that the ask by the court on the General Assembly is, as referred to consider the precise modalities and further action required to rapidly end the unlawful presence of Israel in occupied Palestine. The draft resolution, which has been put for our consideration, contains such precise modalities to give effect to the advisory opinion. Sierra Leone accepts the view that advisory opinions of the ICJ in and of themselves are not binding. However, we, the General Assembly, can give effect to the opinions of the court. Further, in addition to their great legal weight and moral authority, ICJ advisory opinions can clarify international law and crystallize customary international law. The 19th July 2024 advisory opinion of the court performs this important function, particularly with respect to the state of Palestine's right to self-determination, a jus cogens norm. The critical modalities contained in the draft resolution also follow the important customary international law principles as laid out in the International Law Commission's article on the responsibility of states for international wrongful act, in that a state held responsible for an international wrongful act is required to stop the unlawful conduct and make reparations for the injury. This is the function the modalities in the draft resolution will play, hence our unequivocal support. Mr. President, at this stage of intense violence in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank for over 11 months, Sierra Leone also considers this action by the General Assembly a significant step towards the realization of achieving the political horizon of the two states, as highlighted in many resolutions on this question adopted by this Assembly and the Security Council. The ICJ in the advisory opinion stressed, and I quote, the urgent necessity for the United Nations to redouble its efforts to bring the Israel-Palestine conflict, which continues to pose a threat to international peace and security, to a speedy conclusion, thereby establishing a just and lasting peace in the region, end of quote. Accordingly, Sierra Leone reaffirms its support for the two-state solution based on the General Assembly and Security Council resolutions adopted on the question of Palestine, beginning with Resolution 1812, which recommends an independent Jewish state and an independent Arab state in line with Article 41 of the United Nations Charter. And I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Sierra Leone. I now give the floor to the distinguished representatives of Bahrain.
Mr. President, at the outset, I congratulate you on assuming the presidency of the 79th session of the General Assembly of the United Nations, and we thank you for resuming the work of the 10th Emergency Special Session to follow up on the advisory opinion of the ICJ on the legal consequences arising from Israel's policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, based on the request from the General Assembly. My country aligns itself with the statements delivered by the Syrian Arab Republic on behalf of the Arab Group, Cameroon on behalf of the OIC, and Uganda on behalf of the non-aligned movement. Mr. President, Bahrain welcomed the advisory opinion of the ICJ, and we participated in, and we have co-sponsored the draft resolution that we will vote on soon. Given how important this draft resolution is to make sure that the rights of the Palestinian people are respected, that they can establish their own independent state with East Jerusalem as its capital according to the resolutions of international legitimacy. As the war continues against the Gaza Strip, it has been over a year almost. The Kingdom of Bahrain calls on the international community to carry out its responsibility to reach a ceasefire to protect civilians and to facilitate the delivery of humanitarian assistance to the residents of the Strip. The Kingdom of Bahrain also reaffirms what was mentioned by the Arab Summit that was held in Bahrain last May, and it was chaired by His Majesty the King of Bahrain. And we adopted the initiative for an international conference held under the auspices of the United Nations to settle the Palestinian question, to end the occupation of Israel of all occupied Arab territories, and to establish a Palestinian state that is independent and viable. In conclusion, the Kingdom of Bahrain would like to reaffirm its
position of supporting all international efforts to give precedence to dialogue to end the war in Gaza, and we call on the international community to shoulder its responsibility to support the rights of the Palestinian people and to support the efforts to reach a lasting and just peace, to strengthen security and stability in the region for the benefit of all the nations in the region. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Bahrain. In light of the decision taken by the General Assembly yesterday to suspend the debate on agenda item this morning, the Assembly shall now proceed to consider draft resolution A/ES10/L31, Revision 1. I give the floor to the representative of the Secretariat.
Thank you, Mr. President. The present oral statement is made in the context of Rule 153 of the Rules of Procedure of the General Assembly. The present statement has also been distributed to Member States. Under the terms of operative paragraph 13 of the draft resolution, the General Assembly would decide to convene during the 79th session of the General Assembly an international conference under the auspices of the Assembly for the implementation of the United Nations resolutions pertaining to the question of Palestine and a two-state solution for the achievement of a just, lasting, and comprehensive peace in the Middle East. With regards to operative paragraph 13 of the draft resolution, in the absence of modalities for the international conference, it is not possible at the present time to estimate the potential costs implications of the requirements of the conference. When the format, scope, and modalities of the conference are determined, the Secretary General would assess the budgetary implications and advise the General Assembly in accordance with Rule 153 of the Rules of Procedures of the General Assembly. Furthermore, once modalities are known, in accordance with established practice, availability of conference services and the date of the conference would be determined in consultation with the Department for General Assembly and Conference Management. In this regard, reference is made to operative paragraph 11 of General Assembly Resolution 69/250 and subsequent resolutions, the most recent of which is Resolution 78/245 of 22 December 2023, in which the Assembly invited Member States to include in new legislative mandates adequate information on the modalities for the organization of conferences or meetings. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Secretariat. For your information, the draft resolutions have closed for e-sponsorship. I now give the floor to the representative of the Secretariat.
Thank you, Mr. President. I should like to announce that since the submission of the draft resolution, and in addition to the delegations listed on the L document, the following countries have also become co-sponsors of A/ES10/L31, Revision 1: Afghanistan, Belize, Brazil, Brunei Darussalam, Chad, Comoros, Cuba, Gambia, Guinea, Honduras, Indonesia, Ireland, Lebanon, Maldives, Niger, Norway, St. Lucia, Slovenia, Somalia, Spain, and the United Arab Emirates. if any other countries wish to co-sponsor E/ES10/L31 revision 1, please signify by pressing the microphone button now. St. Kitts and Nevis, Zimbabwe. That's it, Mr. President. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the Secretariat. Before giving the floor for explanations of vote before the vote, may I remind delegations that explanations of vote are limited to 10 minutes and should be made by delegations from their seats. I now give the floor to St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Thank you, Mr. President. The conflict in the Gaza Strip continues not only to test the most fundamental principles of international law, but also the moral conscience of the international community. The situation is catastrophic, with the Gaza Strip having devolved into a site of carnage. According to UNRWA, as of September 13, at least 1.9 million people across the Gaza Strip are internally displaced, with OCHA reporting that between 7th October 2023 and 9th September 2024, at least 41,020 Palestinians were killed and 94,925 injured. Let us be clear. This dire situation is inextricably linked to illegal occupation, dispossession, and harsh settler colonialism, which gradually eroded the internationally established borders. The recent advisory opinion by the International Court of Justice is unambiguous. Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territory is unlawful and must be brought to an end as rapidly as possible. This conclusion is in line with the many General Assembly resolutions that have been adopted. It is also in accordance with the unambiguous statements made in this hallowed hall by an overwhelming majority of member states, which have not wavered in their support of the rights of the Palestinian people, including the right of self-determination, and which the ICJ has recognized as preemptory norm of international law. It is this international law that operates as the public policy fabric in our civilized society, and it is our responsibility to ensure that any attempt to flout these principles are not done with impunity. When international law is applied uniformly, it safeguards a framework of justice, accountability, and predictability. It is in our collective interest to ensure its strict application, as its erosion enables the atrocities that we are currently witnessing in the Gaza Strip today. Mr. President, St. Vincent and the Grenadines will vote in favor of the resolution being considered today, not just because it is morally right so to do, but human dignity and justice demand that we honor the fundamental principles that guide this institution. Both Israel and Palestine can exist peacefully alongside each other within secure and recognized boundaries, free from threats or acts of force, and Resolution 242 remains the enabler of this achievement. Both nations deserve this peaceful coexistence. However, we underscore that this right to peace and security does not grant a license for the illegal occupation and suppression of the rights of the Palestinian people, which have been clearly established under international law. Additionally, and recalling the pronouncement of the ICJ in its advisory opinion, occupation cannot transfer or confer sovereignty to the occupying power. Excellencies, the stains of the ongoing war are being etched into the narrative of our history, imprinted deeply into the palms of our hands, and the emphasis on nationalistic pursuits and politics to the detriment of lives and livelihoods are reprehensible, and a solution will not and cannot be found in hostilities. The only viable way forward is one achieved through dialogue and peaceful means. The international community, particularly those with influence, are under an obligation to work constructively towards facilitating an end to the hostilities that would enable an environment conducive to achieving a long-term solution. Naturally, this would mean supporting this resolution to give effect to the advisory opinion of the ICJ. As responsible actors, we must rise to the occasion and prioritize the greater good of humanity and future generations. I thank you.
I thank St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I now give the floor to Papua New Guinea.
Mr. President, Excellencies and distinguished fellow delegates, this being the first occasion for my delegation to address you, Mr. President, in your new capacity as the President of the General Assembly, may I take this occasion to congratulate you and the distinguished delegation of Cameroon for your important mandate and to also wish you all the best. Mr. President, Papua New Guinea notes with great interest and concern the draft resolution before this Assembly, subsequent to the ICJ advisory opinion issued on 19 July 2024. Let me firstly place on record that Papua New Guinea, as a member of the Non-Aligned Movement, regrettably disassociates itself from the Non-Aligned Movement co-sponsorship of the draft resolution before us today, and also the accompanying statement delivered yesterday by the distinguished delegation of Uganda as chair of the Coordinating Bureau of the Non-Aligned Movement. We do so because elements contained therein, the draft resolution and the NAM statement, are inconsistent with our national position on the issues addressed. Mr. President, like many other countries, Papua New Guinea continues to be concerned with the serious evolving humanitarian, peace and security, and other challenges in Palestine and Israel, which continue to impact adversely the lives and livelihoods of both Israelis and Palestinians alike, and also its wider implications for the Middle East region and beyond. It is nearly a year since the terrible, deplorable, tragic Hamas-led terrorist attack on Israel and the taking of hostages. Those remaining hostages in captivity must be returned immediately to Israel without further preconditions. We condemn in the strongest terms those Israeli hostages murdered recently. Those responsible for the murders must be held accountable. It is also unacceptable that a disproportionate number of Palestinians continue to be killed, maimed, and left destitute. This conflict must be ended for the sake of both Israelis and Palestinians. We pay tribute to those parties, including Egypt, United States, and Qatar, seeking pathways to ending this tragic conflict. Likewise, the brave humanitarian frontline workers serving affected peoples and communities in the conflict areas, including those that have fallen in their line of duty, including from the UN, deserve our commendation and support. Mr. President, The draft resolution before this assembly demands that Israel make unilateral concessions without any reciprocal steps from the other parties involved. Such unbalanced demands, in our considered view, will not only perpetuate the conflict, but may also reinforce views that the ICJ advisory opinion proceedings may have been biased, given the court's sole focus on the actions of Israel and not the policies and practices of all actors involved in the conflict. Ultimately, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict can only be resolved around the negotiating table through peaceful dialogue, not in the courtroom or in other fora. We therefore call on both parties to return to the negotiating table, including through a two-state solution process, to finding a mutually amicable and lasting political settlement that provides for both Israel and Palestine to live side by side in peace and security. Mr. President, we also recognize the seriousness of the various calls being made in this draft resolution. Considering the importance of those issues, it is regrettable that for small developing countries like my own, we have yet to comprehensively consider the ICJ advisory opinion on the legal consequences arising from the policies and practices of Israel in occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem. This is given the fact that the ICJ advisory opinion was only delivered less than 2 months ago. The importance of adequate timing for proper consideration of the issues related to the ICJ advisory opinion at the national level cannot be overstated, Mr. President. Mr. President, another most important point related to the ICJ advisory opinion that needs to be carefully considered is the level of dissenting and separate opinions from the court judges and what this signifies. Some of them are profound and most troubling, to say the least. This raises the specter of the credibility of the advisory opinion. While we recognize that the ICJ should be treated with the utmost respect, including for its advisory opinions, however, the manner and the character of the process leading to the advisory opinion calls into question the legitimacy of the advisory opinion itself. Mr. President, it is for these reasons that Papua New Guinea today will vote against the 10th Emergency Special Session resolution now before the General Assembly, and I thank you.
I thank Papua New Guinea. I give the floor to Marshall Islands.
Thank you, Mr. President. And before I begin, Mr. President, I want to take this opportunity to congratulate you on your election as the president for this assembly. Mr. President, the government of the Republic of the Marshall Islands hereby announced his decision to vote in favor of the upcoming United Nations resolution regarding the situation in Palestine. This decision has been reached after careful consideration and reflects our deep commitment to human rights values and international law. And as a nation that has experienced the profound impacts of global conflicts, we cannot remain silent in the face of the oncoming sufferings of the Palestinian people. Our vote is a testament to our conscience and our belief in the fundamental human rights and dignity of all people. The key points underlining our decision are based on the following. One, humanitarian concerns. We are deeply troubled by the reports of civilian casualties and the deteriorating living conditions in Palestinian territories. As a global community, we have a moral obligation to address this humanitarian crisis. Number two, commitments to international law. Our support
for this resolution aligns with our unwavering respect for international law and the advisory opinions of the International Court of Justice. Advisor number three, advocacy for peaceful resolution. Mr. President, we believe this resolution is a step towards encouraging a peaceful negotiated settlement of the long-standing conflict, which is crucial for regional and global stability. Number four, Mr. President, our support for self-determination. As a small island nation that values its sovereignty, we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people's right to self-determination. Number five, finally, Mr. President, call for international action. Our vote is a call to the international community to increase efforts in providing humanitarian aid and support, supporting peace initiatives in the region. The Marshall Islands reaffirm its commitment to a two-state solution and urges all parties involved to engage in meaningful dialogue to achieve lasting peace. We believe that our support for this resolution is consistent with our values and our visions for a more just and peaceful world. I thank you.
I thank Marshall Islands. We have heard the last speaker in explanation of vote before the vote. Before proceeding further, I wish to address the question concerning the majority required for the adoption of the draft resolution. In light of Article 18, paragraphs 2 and 3 of the Charter of the United Nations, is there any objection to taking action on draft resolution A/ES10/L31, revision 1, by a two-thirds majority of the members present and voting? I see no objection. The two-thirds majority of members present and voting is therefore required for the adoption of draft resolution A/ES10/L31/Revision 1. The Assembly will now take a decision on draft resolution A/ES10/L31/Revision 1, entitled, and I quote, Advisory Opinion of the International Court of Justice on the legal consequences arising from Israel's policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and from the illegality of Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territory. A recorded vote has been requested. We shall now begin the voting process. Those in favor of draft resolution A/ES10/L31/Revision 1, please signify. Those against, abstentions.
The General Assembly is now voting on draft resolution A/ES10/L31/Revision 1, entitled Advisory Opinion of the International Court of Justice on the legal consequences arising from Israel's policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and from the illegality of Israel's continuous presence in the occupied Palestinian territory. will all delegations confirm that their votes are accurately reflected on the screen? The voting has been completed. And please lock the machine.
The result of the vote is as follows. In favor, 124. Against, 14. Abstentions, 43. Draft resolution A/E-S10/L31/Revision 1 is adopted. Before giving the floor for explanations of vote after the vote, may I remind delegations that explanations of vote are limited to 10 minutes and should be made by delegations from their seats.
Because they're all gathering there to congratulate.
Order, please. Order, please. I give the floor to New Zealand.
Mr. President, New Zealand supported this resolution after careful consideration. We did so because we support a two-state solution and because we support international law. The Israel-Palestinian conflict has gone on for far too long. The suffering it has led to on both sides is immense. Its broader destabilizing impact on the region is profound. The effects are felt as far away as New Zealand. The only way to end the conflict is the two-state solution. Both sides need to return to negotiations to achieve this. This resolution, though not perfect, sets the international community's expectations that both parties must move towards a negotiated settlement. We hope the passage of this resolution will provide impetus to the parties to re-engage in negotiations. The 12-month timeframe set out in the resolution for Israeli withdrawal from the occupied Palestinian territory is frankly unrealistic. A two-state solution needs to be the product of negotiations. Aspirations need to be tempered by realism, given the complexities to be addressed. However, in the next 12 months, we expect Israel to take meaningful steps towards compliance with international law, particularly through the withdrawal from the occupied Palestinian territory. We would also expect the Palestinian Authority to take meaningful steps to assume political and security control of the occupied territory. We are strong supporters of the International Court of Justice. The ICJ's advisory opinion aligns with New Zealand's long-standing view that Israel's conduct in the occupied Palestinian territory is unlawful. However, we are disappointed that, in some cases, the resolution goes beyond what was envisaged in the advisory opinion. Although the resolution does not impose obligations on New Zealand beyond any already existing under international law, New Zealand stands ready to implement any measures adopted by the UN Security Council. New Zealand will continue to impose travel bans against extremist settlers and others involved in violations of international humanitarian law as we deem appropriate. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank New Zealand. I give the floor to Singapore.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm taking the floor to explain my delegation's vote on the resolution we have just adopted. Singapore has always attached the greatest importance to international law and the principles of the UN Charter. We voted in favor of this resolution after careful and thorough consideration due to our respect for the International Court of Justice, which is the principal judicial organ of the United Nations, as well as for international law more broadly. Nevertheless, we wish to place on record our serious reservations, as we did when General Assembly Resolution 77/247 was adopted in November 2022. About the use of the court's advisory jurisdiction to bypass the need for states' consent in submitting what are essentially political disputes between two parties for adjudication. This approach sets an unsettling precedent with wider implications that warrant further examination. We do not consider it appropriate to involve the court in such disputes in this way. Mr. President, we have serious reservations about the resolution's call for measures that have not been negotiated by the Israelis and Palestinians, the parties directly involved in the conflict. We are concerned that this will further harden positions on both sides and make the prospects of a political solution even more remote. Both Israelis and Palestinians have legitimate security needs that must be taken into consideration in order to break the cycle of violence. Our long-standing view remains that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict can only be resolved through direct negotiations between both sides so as to achieve a comprehensive, just, and durable solution. In this connection, Singapore does not endorse the overreaching scope of the modalities and actions prescribed by the resolution for states, particularly, but not limited to, those enumerated in operative paragraphs 4 and 5. They include measures that go beyond not just the advisory opinion, but also our current obligations under international law, and will have far-reaching consequences on the prospects of the peace process. As nearly a year has passed since the attack of 7 October by Hamas on Israel, our priority now must be to redouble efforts to implement UN Security Council resolutions on the situation in Gaza and work towards a ceasefire. The 7 October attack by Hamas on Israel was a terrorist attack. And Israel, like every country, has a right to defend itself in accordance with international law. Today, 101 hostages still remain in Gaza, and Singapore continues to call for their safe, unconditional, and immediate release. At the same time, in exercising its right of defense, Israel must comply fully with international law, including international humanitarian law and the rules governing the conduct of war. In our view, the Israeli military response has gone too far. In addition, Singapore's consistent view on Israeli settlements is that they are illegal under international law and they make it much harder to arrive at a two-state solution. Both sides must find the resolve to remove obstacles to peace and work towards a negotiated two-state solution in accordance with the relevant UN Security Council resolutions. And returning to this resolution that we have just adopted today, however well-intentioned we are in seeking clarity on the legal position, we need to exercise the utmost care in the appropriateness of involving the court in disputes like this, where the ultimate objective of an enduring solution depends on the disputing parties being able to achieve a negotiated solution. In Singapore's view, that should surely be the goal of all members of this august assembly. I thank you very much for your attention.
I thank Singapore and I give the floor to Czechia.
Well, Madam President, Excellencies, allow me to begin by reiterating Czechia's unwavering support for the people of the West Bank and Gaza in their pursuit of political aspirations for their own future statehood. My country also stands ready to support any meaningful efforts to end violence in the region. However, for these efforts to succeed, they must be the result of direct negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians, as this offers the only viable path to lasting security and peace for all. Given the current circumstances on the ground, we believe that this resolution is not a step in the right direction, as it risks potentially sowing further divisions and hindering peace talks in an already fragile conflict situation. Furthermore, the adopted resolution fails to address the immense security challenges Israel faces, including Hamas's use of the Gaza Strip as a launching pad for its rampage of killing of Israelis, while systematically using the Palestinian civilians as human shields. Allow me to take this opportunity to reiterate our call for the immediate release of all the hostages brutally abducted on the 7th of October. It is with great concern that I must note that this General Assembly has once again failed to acknowledge this issue with today's vote. Madam President, Czechia fully respects the role and independence of the International Court of Justice. However, we regret that due to the unilaterally formulated questions posed by the Resolution 247 from December 2022, the court advisory opinion in question could not pay enough attention to Israel's legitimate security interests and its right to self-defense. And the resolution before us today goes even further and interprets the opinion expressed by the court in an entirely one-sided way. Madam President, colleagues, it is of utmost importance to re-establish a political horizon towards a two-state solution. A negotiated agreement remains the only way forward to guarantee security, political stability, and democratic development for both Israel and Palestine. We also encourage the region to embark on a path of cooperation, including through the Abraham Accords, to foster a better future in the Middle East. Rather than introducing new initiatives here in New York, we need to see positive developments in the region. Madam President, it is precisely for these reasons that Czechia was not in a position to support the draft resolution and voted against it. I thank you.
I thank Czechia and I give the floor to Greece.
Madam President, today's vote takes place in the midst of a crisis in the Middle East, which has long transcended the regional level and has unfortunately taken on global dimensions. Dramatic developments on the ground over the last year have created an acute sense of urgency for addressing the situation in all its aspects. The horrendous terrorist attacks committed by Hamas on October 7th and the continued holding of hostages in Gaza are underlying in no uncertain terms the absolute necessity that Israel's legitimate security needs have to be addressed, respected, and safeguarded. In any case, Israel has the right to its security and self-defense. The present resolutions does not make any reference to the need to conduct direct negotiation between the parties to work towards a two-state solution, which has been the consistent position of the international community for decades. Yet Greece decided to vote in favor of the resolution. This decision is based on Greece's unwavering support of international law and the institutions that embodies it, the International Court of Justice. It is our principled belief that the work of the International Court of Justice should be protected even in case of disagreement. International law and the rule of law lie in the heart of the Charter of the United Nations and serve as a shield against all forms of violations. Madam President, lastly, allow me to reiterate our sincere desire to promote, also through our principled stance today, a political process towards a two-state solution. Greece, as a country in the region, stands ready to assist any peace effort conducive to the promotion of the much-needed stability and prosperity in the region. I thank you.
I thank Greece, and next speaker is United Kingdom.
Thank you, President. The United Kingdom has abstained on today's resolution. The United Kingdom has done so not because we do not support the central findings of the ICJ's advisory opinion, but rather because the resolution does not provide sufficient clarity to effectively advance our shared aim of a peace premised on a negotiated two-state solution, a safe and secure Israel alongside a safe and secure Palestinian state. As a state committed to the international rule of law, we respect the court and call for states to unite around renewed efforts towards a negotiated settlement in accordance with international law and the relevant resolutions of the Security Council. We stand ready to work with other member states on future resolutions before the General Assembly and in the Security Council, seeking to fashion a broad consensus on the way forward, with re-energized determination to accelerate the path to peace. While our abstention reflects our unwavering determination to focus on efforts to bring about a peaceful and negotiated two-state solution, the United Kingdom aims, by this statement, to indicate our clear view that Israel should bring an end to its presence in the occupied Palestinian territories as rapidly as possible, and every effort must be made to create the conditions for negotiations which provide for a sovereign, viable, and free Palestine alongside a safe, secure, and free Israel, recognizing the security concerns and right to self-defense of each one. We must also work towards the reunification of the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and Gaza, in line with 1967 borders and under the effective control of the Palestinian Authority as a fundamental step towards a two-state solution. Turning now to address settlements in particular, the United Kingdom is gravely concerned by Israel's continued actions which undermine prospects for peace. Expansion of settlements in clear violation of international law must cease immediately. There have been unprecedented levels of violence by extremist settlers over the past year. We have witnessed with grave concern how an increasing number of residents of illegal Israeli settlements and outposts have systematically used harassment, intimidation, and violence to put pressure on Palestinian communities to leave their land. We call on Israel to hold those responsible to account. Alongside our partners, the UK has imposed sanctions on individuals and entities responsible for these acts. We continue to track closely these acts of violence and, where appropriate, the UK will seek to extend sanctions. We are clear, any efforts to change the geographic or demographic makeup of the occupied Palestinian territories through force and outside a negotiated settlement are illegal. President, the situation in Gaza continues to subject Palestinian civilians to horrendous suffering, and over 100 hostages remain held by Hamas in abhorrent conditions. We need to see an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the release of the hostages. We will continue to work urgently to help bring peace and galvanize a political process towards a two-state solution which provides long-term peace and security for both Israelis and Palestinians alike. I thank you.
I thank United Kingdom and I give the floor to Thailand.
Madam President, Thailand reiterates our firm respect to international law and our adherence to the purpose and principle enshrined in the UN Charter, in particular, respect for sovereignty, territorial integrity, and the non-use of forces against it. We remain deeply concerned with the ongoing violence and the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza, which have gravely affected the civilian population. We continue to urge all parties concerned to immediately cease fire and terminate all acts of hostilities, protect civilians and civilian infrastructure, comply with international humanitarian law, and implement relevant UN Security Council resolutions to alleviate the catastrophic humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Thailand reiterates the call for the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages, including Thai nationals, as well as their proper treatment pending their release. Today, Madam President, we voted in favor of the resolution with the hope that this resolution would reinvigorate momentum towards peace and security in the region and the eventual fulfillment of the two-state solution. Our voting today reflects our principle in accordance with international law and the UN Charter. We continue to appeal to all sides to seek ways to resolve the situation through peaceful means, with a view to realizing the two-state solution by which the states of Israel and Palestine live side by side in peace and security, in accordance with international law and the relevant UN resolutions. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank Thailand and give the floor to Canada.
Madame la Présidente, la position du...
Madam President, Canada's position on questions related to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is guided by our historic and unswerving commitment to international law, as well as by a framework that best guarantees peace and security for both Israelis and Palestinians. The horrific terrorist attacks perpetrated by Hamas on October 7th, which Canada continues to condemn and unequivocally so, as well as the catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza, have made it more pressing than ever to return to a process that leads to a two-state solution. There must be an immediate ceasefire, as well as the release of all hostages. Hamas must lay down its arms, and urgent steps must be taken to respond to the humanitarian catastrophe. Canada will continue to support UNRWA, as well as humanitarian reconstruction and development efforts, as well as security assistance efforts to ensure greater ongoing safety and stability in the region. Loss of life and the destruction of infrastructure in Gaza are, frankly speaking, horrific and unacceptable. The processes of legal accountability, building trust, and the establishment of the conditions necessary for peace and justice to reign will require extraordinary efforts on the parts of all sides, efforts required of all of us. Canada stands ready to do our bit.
Let us be clear that there are aspects of this resolution which Canada agrees with. Canada does not recognize permanent Israeli control over territories occupied in 1967, and to be precise, that has been a consistent position of all Canadian governments since that time. The Fourth Geneva Convention applies in the occupied territories and clearly establishes Israel's obligations as an occupying power, in particular with respect to the humane treatment of the inhabitants of the occupied territories. Canada also considers Israeli settlements to be a violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention. We also condemn violence by extremist settlers that harm Palestinians and threaten prospects for peace. Canada recognizes the Palestinian right to self-determination and supports the creation of the Palestinian state. We support the ICJ's role in the peaceful settlement of disputes, and we support its role in upholding the international rules-based order. We took note of the advisory opinion that was issued on July the 19th, 2024, and at that time we called on Israel to respond substantively to this opinion. We continue to do so. Our problem with the resolution is that it goes well beyond the ICJ advisory opinion. We cannot support a resolution where one party, the State of Israel, is held solely responsible for the conflict. Canada supports Israel's right to live in peace with its neighbors, with secure boundaries, and recognizes Israel's right to ensure its own security. This is the right of every sovereign state in this assembly. However, there is no mention in the resolution of the need to end terrorism, for which Israel has serious and legitimate security concerns. Once again, this resolution fails to mention the horrendous attack and the atrocities of October 7th, 2024, which were carried out by Hamas. We continue to support Israel's right to defend itself against any form of terrorism. In addition, we are concerned with this resolution contains language that aligns with boycott, divestment, sanctions, which Canada firmly opposes. This effort seeks to uniquely isolate Israel in a conflict where everyone in this room knows that many other states and non-state actors are also directly involved. This is not the path to a just resolution of the conflict. For these reasons, Canada has voted to abstain on this resolution. We are committed to continue our work with the international community to help advance peace in the region, which must include a two-state solution. We will always stand with the Israeli and the Palestinian peoples in their right to live in peace, the right to live in security, and the right to live in dignity. And this is the only path that will take us to a long-lasting solution to this ongoing crisis with which this assembly has been involved since the creation of the United Nations. Thank you, Madam President.
I thank Canada, and I give the floor to Australia.
President, thank you. Australia is resolute in advancing the cause of peace around the world, including the urgent need for a two-state solution in the Middle East. And Australia is a resolute defender of international law including the International Court of Justice. That is why we abstained on this vote with great disappointment. We wanted to vote for a resolution that directly reflected the ICJ advisory opinion. We wanted to vote for a resolution that clearly offered the Palestinian people a path to self-determination and gave the world a path to a two-state solution. And we wanted to vote for a resolution that gave the international community a clear way to respond to the International Court of Justice's advisory opinion. However, we are concerned that by making demands of the entire United Nations membership that go beyond the scope of the advisory opinion, the resolution distracts from what the world needs Israel to do. President, we are deeply disappointed these concerns were not able to be addressed. Australia supports many of the principles of this resolution, and we are already doing much of what it calls for. We adopted the name Occupied Palestinian Territories because that is what they are. We have affirmed that Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories are illegal. We insist Israel must cease settlement activity. We have sanctioned extremist Israeli settlers because they must be held to account for their violence. We will deny anyone identified as an extremist settler a visa to travel to Australia. We doubled our funding to UNRWA because it does vital work. We have not supplied weapons to Israel in at least the last 5 years. We continue to call out unilateral actions that undermine the prospect for peace, and we have moved our position on recognition. We now see recognition as an integral part of a peace process and as a way to contribute meaningfully towards the realisation of a two-state solution. It's a matter of when, not if. It's the only way to break the cycle of violence, the only hope for a prosperous future for both peoples, a Palestinian state and the State of Israel side by side behind secure borders. Any alternative is either unacceptable or unachievable. President, the occupation must be brought to an end, such that we see security for Palestinians, for Israel, and for the region. To conclude, we meet at a time when the situation in Gaza is catastrophic, where the human suffering is unacceptable, where international law is under strain, and when the region is on the brink of escalation. We urge Member States to remain focused on these most desperately urgent issues. We want to see aid flow at scale. We want to see civilians protected, and we want terrorist group Hamas to release the hostages it took on October 7. There must be an immediate ceasefire, and this conflict must end. Thank you, President.
I thank Australia and give the floor to Japan.
Thank you, Madam President. Japan voted in favor of the resolution after thorough consideration. We would like to make the following points as our explanation of vote. First, as a country that values the rule of law, Japan attaches great importance to the role of the ICJ and its advisory opinions. Japan has been contributing to the work of ICJ, including this advisory opinion, by participating in the proceedings where we elaborated on the prohibition of acquisition of territory by force. Second, as stated in the advisory opinion, Israel's continued settlement activities are in violation of international law. They undermine the prospect for a two-state solution. The ICJ tasked the General Assembly to follow up on its advisory opinion. Therefore, Japan has been constructively involved in such discussions as a responsible member state. However, we observe that remained some elements which would have required further consideration on what the most appropriate measures would be to address the advisory opinion. For instance, the resolution includes language regarding sanctions and other issues related to bilateral relations. We understand that these measures are to be taken based on the domestic laws and policy decisions of each country. We should not lose sight of what the only realistic approach for ending Israel-Palestinian conflict is. It is to rebuild trust between the parties and to ultimately realize a two-state solution through negotiations, in line with international law and based on the relevant UN Security Council resolutions, as well as internationally agreed parameters. Last but not least, with regard to grave situation in Gaza, Japan has consistently condemned the terror attacks by Hamas and others and has expressed deep concern about the deteriorating humanitarian situation. We again call for immediate ceasefire, the release of the hostages, and the delivery of desperately needed humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza at scale. Japan will continue to strongly support the tireless efforts of the United States, Egypt, and Qatar to this end. I thank you.
I thank Japan and give the floor to Bulgaria.
Thank you, Madam President. Bulgaria is firmly committed to upholding the principles of international law. We are convinced that only through the full respect of international law, peace, security, and justice can be achieved. The International Court of Justice is essential in upholding those principles, and undoubtedly, its findings and those of all international judicial institutions should be respected and implemented by all. We have consistently supported the legitimate aspirations of the Palestinian people pertaining to their right to self-determination, and we are convinced that the Palestinian people, like all peoples, have the right to a sovereign and an independent state. A just and comprehensive resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict based on the two-state solution with the State of Israel and an independent, democratic, contiguous, sovereign and viable State of Palestine living side by side in peace and security and mutual recognition is needed and now more than ever. Unfortunately, given the current political context, we are not convinced that the resolution just adopted will facilitate the achievement of this comprehensive goal. It goes beyond the scope of the ICJ advisory opinion and falls short of objectively addressing the realities on the ground. For that reason, Bulgaria was not in a position to support the resolution and abstained on it. Thank you.
I thank Bulgaria, and the next speaker is Austria.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. Colleagues, as you saw, Austria abstained on draft resolution L31 Rev 1. Here's why. Austria is strongly committed to strengthening the rule of law at the national and international levels and believes that an international system based on the respect for and the compliance with international law is an essential precondition for lasting peace, security, economic development, and social progress. Such a system benefits us all. We also want to reaffirm our full support for the International Court of Justice and its crucial role as the principal judicial organ of the UN. Austria respects the court's judgments and legal opinions, including the advisory opinion that this resolution addresses. Austria fully supports the vision of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security within recognized borders based on the pre-1967 borders. Our political leaders have consistently advocated for this position. In January, Foreign Minister Schallenberg at the Security Council called on the international community to do more to achieve this aim by laying the foundations for a life in peace and dignity for Israelis and Palestinians alike. Austria remains committed to this goal, but we believe that genuine peace and security for Israelis and Palestinians alike can only be achieved through a political process. It's regrettable and incomprehensible that the resolution does not reflect the need for such a negotiation process. It also does not take into account Israel's legitimate security concerns. Furthermore, As many of the colleagues who spoke before me pointed out, the resolution goes beyond the advisory opinion in several areas, including with a view to responsibilities of third states regarding trade relations with Israel and sanctions, which are not mentioned in the advisory opinion. While the European Union has adopted sanctions against certain individual violent settlers, the broad call for sanctions and import restrictions contained in the resolutions does not correspond to any legal obligation of third states. Finally, let me emphasize that Austria does not support the establishment of any additional follow-up mechanisms under Article 3 CRED, as envisaged by the resolution, since this would constitute a duplication of the already existing mechanisms and procedures of the Convention itself. For the above reasons, Austria abstained on the draft resolution today and calls instead on both sides to return to the negotiation table. Austria stands ready to support efforts that can rebuild hope for peace, that liberate the hostages held by Hamas terrorists, and brings an end to the catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza. We categorically reject any unilateral attempts from any side to undermine the prospects for a two-state solution. Thank you.
I thank Austria and give the floor to Belgium.
Merci, Madame.
Thank you, Madam President. Distinguished colleagues, at the outset, I would like to thank the authors of this resolution. Their approach is most constructive. Belgium voted in favour of the draft resolution before us today. Our vote is in keeping with our oral statement delivered to the ICJ on the 20th of February of this year. Belgium has been unswervingly defending the idea that respect for international law should be our compass. It must guide us under all circumstances, guide us as the international community. Much like the majority of the states, members of the General Assembly, my country has been staunchly in support of the ICJ, which is one of the principal pillars of the international judicial order. The resolution that's been adopted today is in keeping with the advisory opinion rendered by the ICJ on the 19th of July. The illegal occupation of the Occupied Palestinian Territory, OPT, and the illegal policies of colonization have been perpetrating, and this for decades, a system which undermines the human rights of the Palestinian people in a climate of impunity. This reality compromises any chances of a peace process in the Middle East. These practices must end. Given that no alternative modalities or actions were proposed, my country supported those submitted to us today and set forth in the resolution. Belgium applies a policy of differentiation vis-a-vis Israeli settlements in keeping with UNSCR 2334. Furthermore, Belgium notes that sanctions have been adopted targeting settler violence, and this in a European framework. Belgium, once again within this framework, this European framework, stands ready to consider new effective and proportionate countermeasures against unlawful actions pinpointed by the ICJ. The adoption of this resolution doesn't mean that we're scaling down the right of Israel to exist within its internationally recognized borders, nor does it constitute a reduction of Israel's security. On the contrary, let me be crystal clear. Terrorist groups such as Hamas, the actions of which we firmly condemn, such groups feed on oppression, a denial of justice, and the feeling of hopelessness which oppress those whose rights are denied them. This text, the text before us, offers up a realistic prospect, a prospect of restoring hope in the power of the law among a population which, owing to the injustices waged upon it for a very long time, has been left at the mercy of extremist ideology. It's up to us to give effect to this so that the resolution can fully contribute to promoting peace and reconciliation. In that same spirit, Belgium very much welcomes the fact that on the 26th of September in New York, a meeting will be held on the situation in Gaza and the implementation of the two-state solution with a view to forging a just and comprehensive peace. We hope that a realistic process will be sketched out at that meeting. We fully support the vision of a region where there are two democratic states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace, and this within secure and recognized borders. We know that we have a very long, very difficult road ahead. In order to alleviate the immeasurable suffering prompted by this conflict and to reduce the risks of its spread, Belgium continues to call for the implementation of General Assembly and Security Council resolutions, for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, the immediate release of all hostages, respect for international humanitarian law by all parties to the conflict, and a substantial, lasting and unconditional increase in humanitarian aid flowing to the entire territory of Gaza, as well as full humanitarian access by land. Belgium stands convinced that only a negotiated political solution offers up the prospect, allowing for both Israelis and Palestinians to live decent lives in peace side by side. We will continue supporting all efforts geared to this end. Thank you.
I thank Belgium and give the floor to Argentina.
Madam President, the Republic of Argentina supports the fundamental role of the International Court of Justice, which is the principal judicial organ of the United Nations in defense of international law and maintenance of international peace and security. And in particular, Argentina would like to highlight the important task that the court plays in its dispute settlement function, making it possible to resolve international disputes through peaceful means without putting in danger international peace and security or justice. Argentina, therefore, would like to underscore the importance of the advisory function of the court. The conclusions of the principal judicial organ of the United Nations not only determine and interpret the rules of law that are applicable to the United Nations, but also those applicable to all countries of the international community. And while the advisory opinions of the International Court of Justice are not legally binding, they do represent precedents that contribute to the clarification and development of international law. That is even more the case when they are requested by the General Assembly, which is the main deliberative organ of the United Nations. Indeed, we should keep in mind that what is binding is customary international law, and what is set out in international treaties that are in force. With this in mind, the opinions of the court on what is set out in customary law and on how to interpret relevant treaties are a very important guide for states. In line with the commitment of Argentina to the principal organ in The Hague, we understand that the court's judicial mechanism should not be distorted or decontextualized. And rather, quite to the contrary, it should be preserved for the defense and respect of international law in line with its statute and the UN Charter. In this case, the resolution adopted goes beyond what has been established in the advisory opinion, thus having an impact on its non-binding character. Also, the resolution adopted omits mentioning the Hamas attack of the 7th of October of 2023. This is a fact that can in no way be ignored. In this context, to advance in the implementation of the advisory opinion, as is sought by the resolution adopted, would put at risk the initiatives that are seeking to achieve a ceasefire, to which the Republic of Argentina is strongly committed. Madam President, this nay vote does not in any way mean that the Republic of Argentina is no longer committed to a just and definitive peace to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in conformity with international law and the relevant resolutions of the General Assembly and the Security Council of the United Nations. Only by resuming a process of dialogue based on the two-state solution, living side by side in peace and security, within secure and internationally recognized borders, will it be possible to achieve a lasting peace? Thank you very much.
I thank Argentina and give the floor to the Kingdom of the Netherlands.
Madam President, I thank you for convening this week's emergency special session. On behalf of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, it's my honor to deliver this explanation of vote. It relates to the resolution on the advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice on the legal consequences arising from Israel's policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and from the illegality of Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territories. Madam President, we thank the International Court of Justice for its valuable advisory opinion, which formed the basis of today's resolution. The Kingdom of the Netherlands holds the International Court of Justice in the highest esteem as the principal judicial organ of the United Nations, and we are proud to host the court in The Hague. This resolution is an important reflection on the court's advisory opinion and possible future steps. Currently, the implications of the advisory opinion for Dutch policy are under consideration in our government. The Kingdom of the Netherlands has abstained on the resolution at hand. We have done so taking into account the following considerations. One, although not formally part of the advisory opinion, the resolution takes the period after 7 October into account without referencing the heinous attack of Hamas on Israel, with great implications for Israel's security. While the war that unfolded afterwards is still ongoing and the fate of the many hostages is still uncertain, we all witness the catastrophic humanitarian situation and the enormous loss of human life in Gaza that needs to be addressed immediately, including through an immediate ceasefire. Two, in this context, a negotiated and sustainable two-state solution is now needed more than ever. Unilateral calls for an internationally imposed solution or for a time-specific withdrawal are not helpful. Nor are unilateral actions like expansion of settlements on the ground, as they bring the two-state solution further out of sight and are not in line with international law. We therefore urge both parties to engage in talks that leads to a sustainable situation where the Israeli and Palestinian people, as well as the wider region, can live in peace and security. We reaffirm our commitment to the realization of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, including its right to an independent, democratic, contiguous, sovereign, and viable state, living side by side in peace and security with Israel. Three, the Kingdom of the Netherlands has reservations regarding operative paragraph 5b of the resolution. We therefore like to add the following additional clarification to our vote. Considering the current situation in the region, Israel's security concerns remain legitimate. While it remains of utmost importance that Israel retains its right and ability to defend itself, we emphasize that this must be exercised in accordance with the UN Charter and other relevant areas of international law, including humanitarian law. In that light, the Kingdom of the Netherlands wishes to point out that the transfer of arms, munitions, and related equipment to all parties involved in the conflict should be prevented when it is concluded that these transfers are contrary to international export control norms and standards. Madam President, I would like to end by again thanking the International Court of Justice for its valuable advisory opinion. The Kingdom of the Netherlands will continue to work with all parties towards a sustainable and peaceful solution. Thank you.
I thank the Kingdom of the Netherlands and give the floor to Hungary.
Madam President, Hungary has decided to vote no on today's resolution. Our position is not contradictory to our long-standing commitment to the International Court of Justice. We take note of the Court's advisory opinion issued on 19 July 2024, and to quote the President of the ICJ, His Excellency Nawaf Salam, by stating the law, the Court provides the parties and the international community with a reliable basis for a just, comprehensive, and lasting peace. We fully share this vision of peace in the region and commit to the means necessary and adequate to achieve it. The current resolution, however, does not set a path forward for implementing the ICJ advisory opinion. Instead, it selectively interprets the court's opinion, imposes deadlines that may not be feasible on the ground, and calls for unilateral actions that would undermine efforts to rebuild trust and to create an atmosphere where negotiations are possible. Furthermore, we believe that the path to achieving peace and resolving the long-standing Israeli-Palestinian conflict must be grounded in direct bilateral negotiations between the parties. Hungary continues to fully support any meaningful efforts agreed by the parties, including the Oslo framework that has been and remains the reference point for any further negotiations. Regrettably, instead of fostering reconciliation and returning to dialogue, the violence in the region has escalated to levels not seen since 2005. Amidst these rising tensions, we stress that unilateral actions that could further inflame the situation must be avoided. We believe that there are no quick fixes to the conflict. First, we must ensure that terrorist attacks like the one on 7 October 2023 will not happen again. Secure the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages, bring an end to the hostilities in Gaza, and ensure full, rapid, safe, and unhindered access to humanitarian aid at scale for Palestinians in need. Once hostilities cease, a political solution must be pursued, one that is based on a long-term strategy agreed by all parties involved, supported by the Security Council. Negotiations on all issues will only succeed if international law and justice serve as their foundation. Hungary reaffirms its support to a two-state solution that allows the State of Israel to live side by side in peace and security and mutual recognition with an independent, demographic, sovereign, and viable Palestinian state. I thank you.
I thank Hungary and give the floor to Syrian Arab Republic.
Sayyid al-Rais.
The Syrian Arab Republic would like to thank all states that have voted in favor of today's resolution. Syria voted in favor of the resolution as an expression of its absolute rejection of the continued Israeli occupation of Arab territories in Palestine, the Syrian Golan, and southern Lebanon. My country confirms that voting for the resolution in no way means a recognition of Israel, nor does it mean that the Zionist entity is not an occupying entity. We believe that the result of the voting is an expression of international support for the Palestinian cause, and it shows that the vast majority of our member states uphold international law, the UN Charter, and the rest of the Palestinian people, and they unequivocally reject the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory and Arab territory in general. And the adoption of this resolution renews the United Nations' unequivocal support for the establishment of an independent Palestinian state that has sovereignty and that enjoys full membership in this esteemed organization, so that it would take its natural position among member states, which is what it has deserved for decades. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank Syrian Arab Republic and give the floor to Republic of Korea.
Madam President, to begin with, we express our strong support for realizing the aspirations of Palestinians for an independent state, which is crucial in achieving a just, lasting, and comprehensive peace in the Middle East. In this regard, my delegation reiterates its support for the Land for Peace formula, a principle that has underpinned the peace process on the Palestinian issue for more than half a century. Any action in the General Assembly should be in line with this principle. The Land for Peace formula, developed to achieve a just and lasting peace in the Middle East, remains critical, particularly given the frustration with the stalled peace process and continued settlement expansion since the Oslo Accords. In this context, we note with concern that the text of the resolution does not fully reflect this formula. While it clearly demands Israel's withdrawal from the occupied Palestinian territory within 12 months, it falls short of demanding that all relevant actors ensure peace in the region. Madam President, we fully respect the guidance provided by the ICJ in its advisory opinion. The court stated that it is of the opinion that General Assembly should consider the precise modalities and the further action required to bring to an end the unlawful presence of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory as rapidly as possible. However, concerns remain that certain actions listed in the resolution, such as those in OP4 and OP5, are not within the scope of the ICJ advisory opinion. In this regard, we abstained from the resolution. We hope all actions in this assembly will help the realization of the long-standing aspiration of the whole world toward the vision of the two-state solution. Israelis and Palestinians living side by side in peace within secure and recognized borders, free from threat. Thank you, Madam President.
I thank Republic of Korea and give the floor to Guatemala.
Thank you, Madam President. The government of Guatemala abstained on draft resolution A/ES-10L31/Rev1. And we would like to explain our position on this topic. First of all, Guatemala reiterates its wholehearted and full support for Resolution 181, Roman II of the General Assembly, in which the international community decided to establish two states. Guatemala has not strayed from this historical and unreserved position, and it is our position that Israel and Palestine have the right to live as democratic and independent states, coexisting in peace within secure and internationally recognized borders. Therefore, this vote does not differ in any way from our vote on the 10th of May of this year. Secondly, Guatemala respects the International Court of Justice, and the advisory opinion coincides to a large extent with the position of my country regarding the policies and practices on occupied Palestinian territory. However, Guatemala cannot hide the fact that we have some reservations regarding certain paragraphs of the draft resolution that have compelled us to act in this way. Thirdly, Guatemala condemns all acts of violence and provocation that mainly affect the civilian population. Our government is against any act of terrorism, whether by state or by isolated extremist groups. We categorically reject selective assassinations, suicide, attacks and any act of violence that affects innocent civilians. Fourthly, there is an alternative path to the policies of confrontation and violence that are self-perpetuating and counterproductive. The parties could opt to return to the path of direct negotiations under the auspices of the United Nations with the goal of supervising the implementation of any agreement that they might be able to reach. Madam President, there is an urgent need to put an end to all indiscriminate aggression and to seek a peaceful and negotiated solution to this long-standing conflict. Thank you very much.
I thank Guatemala and give the floor to Latvia.
Madam President, today Latvia voted in favour of the resolution on advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice on the legal consequences arising from Israel's policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and from the illegality of Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territory. Our vote reaffirms the unwavering commitment to the international law and support to the International Court of Justice, the principal judicial organ of the United Nations. Latvia considers the court to be a key institution in the peaceful settlement of disputes, including by advising the General Assembly on legal questions upon request. Consequently, it is in the interests of the international community that advisory opinions provided by the court are treated with the greatest possible seriousness. This means addressing breaches wherever they occur. It is especially important for smaller countries like my own country, Latvia. Given our history marked by centuries under foreign rule and struggle for independence, we rely on the United Nations Charter and respect for international law to guarantee our sovereignty. Madam President, we condemn in the strongest possible terms Hamas for brutal and indiscriminate attacks across Israel on 7th of October 2023 and call for immediate release of hostages without preconditions. We also reiterate our recognition of the right of Israel to defend itself in line with the international law and international humanitarian law. The ongoing deadly violence only corroborates the need for political horizon, ensuring lasting peace and security for both Israelis and Palestinians. Ceasefire in Gaza is vital to stop the horrendous civilian suffering and provide humanitarian relief at scale immediately. Today's vote should be interpreted without prejudice to any decision on official recognition of the State of Palestine. Latvia remains committed to a just and comprehensive resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict based on the two-state solution, with the State of Israel and an independent, sovereign, democratic, contiguous and viable State of Palestine, living side by side in peace and security and mutual recognition. I thank you.
I thank Latvia and give the floor to India.
Voting takes place in the backdrop of the ongoing conflict in Gaza. The world has been witnessing this conflict for more than 11 months now. This has resulted in the death of thousands, including women and children. The consequent humanitarian crisis is large in scale. Our position on this conflict has been clear and consistent. We have articulated this several times. We unequivocally condemned the terror attacks on Israel on 7th October 2023. We condemn the loss of civilian lives in the conflict. We call for an immediate ceasefire and immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. And we stand for unrestricted and sustained humanitarian assistance in the Gaza Strip. India's abiding commitment to achieving a just, peaceful, and lasting solution to the Israel-Palestine issue is also known. Madam President, I use the floor to reiterate that only a two-state solution achieved through direct and meaningful negotiations between both sides will lead to enduring peace. Madam President, India has abstained from today's vote. We have been strong advocates of dialogue and diplomacy. We believe that there is no other way to resolve conflicts. There are no winners in conflicts. The cost of conflict is human lives and destruction. India attaches utmost respect to the UN Charter and the principal organs of the United Nations. Our joint efforts should be directed towards bringing the two sides closer, not drive them further apart. We should strive towards building bridges, not furthering the divides. I urge the August Assembly to make a genuine effort to strive for peace. In conclusion, I emphasize our steadfast commitment to resolution of the conflict and restoration of peace by bringing human suffering to an end. We will continue to be guided by this spirit. To this end, we stand ready to continue our engagements towards achieving sustained peace. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank India and give the floor to France.
Madame la Présidente.
Madam President, France is committed to the respect of international law. We'd like to reaffirm our overarching support to the International Court of Justice, the ICJ. As the ICJ stated in its advisory opinion dated July 2024, Israeli settlements in Palestinian territory, including in East Jerusalem, equate to a violation of international law. States are duty-bound not to recognize as lawful the situation stemming from the unlawful presence of the State of Israel in the Occupied Palestinian Territory, OPT. France will not recognize the unlawful annexation of this territory. France is ensuring that Security Council Resolution 2334 is upheld. It covers the policy of differentiation, establishing a legal distinction between the internationally recognized territory of Israel and the territory occupied since 1967. In that spirit, France voted in favor of the draft resolution tabled by Palestine. We would have preferred for the DR to quote directly from the ICJ advisory opinion. However, we commend efforts undertaken to improve the initial draft. France calls on this assembly to condemn the flagrant violation of international law, which is what the barbaric terrorist attacks committed on the 7th October 2023 constitute. We'd like to reiterate our support for the Israeli people and our solidarity with Israel. Madam President, ongoing settlements are a serious obstacle to the two-state solution. The two-state solution is the only way we can achieve just and lasting peace. It's the only way to ensure Israel's long-term security. This entails the establishment of a Palestinian state as well as a revival of peace negotiations. There's a pressing need to achieve a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. In the West Bank and East Jerusalem, Israel's unilateral actions must end. Calling to question the status quo in Haram al-Sharif, Temple Mount, is dangerous. International humanitarian law must be upheld by all parties. We call for the release of all hostages, the delivery of aid at scale, and access to basic services for civilians. Given the uptick in tensions, we must do everything within our power to avoid a regional conflagration. France is continuing its efforts to this end, working together with our partners. Thank you very much.
I thank France, and I give the floor to Estonia.
President, Estonia voted in favor of draft resolution ES10/L31-REF1. Because of our unwavering commitment to an international law-based multilateral system. It also means compliance with the norms of international law, including the UN Charter, by all UN members. We support the International Court of Justice as the main judicial body of the United Nations to ensure compliance with international law and the peaceful settlement of all disputes. We are convinced that relying on international law will help us move towards a two-state solution and ensure both the security of Israel and the future of Palestine. We express our unwavering commitment to Israel's right to self-defense and security in light of the threats from Hamas and other terrorist groups. Israel's legitimate security concerns must be addressed in the process of ending the occupation. to de-escalate tensions in the region, we call for immediate and unconditional implementation of Security Council Resolution 2735, which proposes a comprehensive, free-pace ceasefire deal to end the war in Gaza and release the hostages. I thank you.
I thank Estonia and give the floor to Switzerland.
Merci, Madame.
Thank you, Madam President. The advisory opinion of the ICJ reflects the rules and obligations of the parties to the conflict, specifically international humanitarian law. Switzerland's support for the ICJ is unswerving. It is the guardian of international law, including international humanitarian law. The court is a key component of the global legal order and plays a key role in the peaceful resolution of disputes. Switzerland contributed to the July 19th advisory opinion during the consultation procedure. We support the advisory opinion that's been rendered. The illegality of Israel's occupation of Palestinian territory, which has been ongoing since 1967, is now beyond doubt. It must end, and a political horizon must be re-established. However, Switzerland has noted that certain points in the resolution go beyond the advisory opinion, specifically the 12-month deadline for Israel's withdrawal from occupied Palestinian territory, OPT, without any mention of how Israel's security is to be guaranteed, as well as the point related to sanctions. This is the reason for our abstention. Our abstention in no way diminishes our commitment to respecting and ensuring respect for international humanitarian law throughout the OPT, in keeping with Article 1 to the Geneva Conventions. As the depository state of these conventions, Switzerland will carry out the mandate entrusted to it by the resolution, and it will do so by convening a conference of high contracting parties within 6 months. We'd like to reiterate that respect for international law and the protection of civilians are our topmost priorities. This includes both an end to settler violence as well as acts of terror, such as those perpetrated on the 7th of October. In Gaza, what we need is a ceasefire, safe, swift and unhindered humanitarian access, and the release of all hostages. It is high time that we revive the peace process so as to achieve a two-state solution with Israel and Palestine living side by side in peace and security within secure and recognized borders. This is the solution to which Switzerland remains deeply committed. Thank you.
I thank Switzerland and give the floor to Cyprus.
Madam President, we voted yes on this resolution based on a consistent point of principle. Cyprus supports the International Court of Justice to give advisory opinions on important legal questions referred to it by the bodies of the United Nations. The role of the ICJ is paramount in the rules-based system, as is respecting the court's decisions and advisory opinions. Notwithstanding this point of principle, we wish to also make the following points. The resolution includes language and provisions that do not strictly fall within the scope of the July 2024 advisory opinion, and it does not fully cover the international context. We unequivocally condemn in the strongest of terms the heinous terrorist attacks by Hamas on the 7th of October 2023 and its deplorable conduct towards hostages. Cyprus fully supports the ongoing mediation efforts by the United States, Egypt and Qatar and reiterates its call for an immediate ceasefire, the release of all the hostages and the search for humanitarian assistance into Gaza as the pathway towards long-term peace. Ultimately, Madam President, the only sustainable way forward that meets the security concerns and needs of the legitimate stakeholders is reviving the Middle East peace process on the basis of a two-state solution and in line with the UN resolutions. We stand ready to support this aim as it is the sole way to ensure conditions of sustainable security and stability equally for Israelis and Palestinians alike, and it is a crucial step towards fostering stability in the Middle East as a whole. I thank you.
I thank Cyprus and give the floor to Monica.
Thank you, Madam President. Monaco voted in favor of draft resolution contained in document A/ES10L31 Rev 1. By doing this, Monaco recognizes the role of the International Court of Justice, which is the principal judiciary organ of the United Nations. The vote of Monaco in favor of this resolution is a judicial and not a political decision. It is a carefully weighed decision dictated by a specific situation. My delegation reaffirms its support for the respect of international law and international humanitarian law, which is the fundamental basis of international relations. We're extremely concerned by the disastrous humanitarian situation in Gaza. We condemn terrorism. We condemn the attacks of the 7th of October perpetrated by Hamas and other terrorist groups and call for the immediate and unconditional release of the hostages. We reiterate also Israel's right to defend itself. By voting in favor of this resolution, Monaco renews its commitment to multilateralism and to the purposes and principles of the United Nations Charter. Thank you.
I thank Monaco and give the floor to Sweden.
Thank you, Madam President. Sweden firmly supports the International Court of Justice as the principal judicial organ of the United Nations and fully respects its independence and the functions assigned to it under the Charter of the United Nations and its statute. Sweden has taken note of the court's important advisory opinion on the legal consequences arising from the policies and practices of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, rendered on 19th July 2024. While not legally binding in itself, we regard it as an authoritative interpretation on important elements of international law. On several important issues, the court's findings coincide with what is already the joint position of the European Union. The EU has stated that it will not recognize changes to the 1967 borders unless agreed by the parties. The EU has, based on international law and Security Council resolutions, for many years supported a lasting and sustainable peace on the basis of a negotiated two-state solution with Israel and Palestine living side by side in peace, security, and mutual recognition. Sweden reiterates its firm position that international law must be respected by all parties at all times, including Israel and Palestine. Civilians must be protected and humanitarian assistance must be allowed to reach those in need. Although the advisory opinion does not deal with the situation on and after October 7 in Israel and Gaza, the EU, including Sweden, stand firm in our call for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza to alleviate suffering of civilians, allow for a massive scale-up of humanitarian assistance, and secure the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. In response to the attacks against Israel by Hamas and other groups on and after October 7, the EU has reaffirmed its support for Israel's right to defend itself. The war that now rages has made a two-state solution all the more urgent, and it should be clear to everyone that a Hamas-ruled Gaza cannot be part of a solution. For example, the International Court did not set a deadline for the implementation of its opinion. In this regard, Sweden believes that it would have been better if the resolution before us had provided more time for the parties to discuss and identify the modalities for follow-up to the court's advisory opinion to ensure that the measures adopted are conducive to resume negotiations in order to achieve a two-state solution. For these reasons, Sweden abstained in the vote on the resolution. Thank you, Madam President.
I thank Sweden and I give the floor to Italy.
Madam President, Italy abstained in the voting on draft resolution A/ES10L31/1. We fully recognize the consultative competence of the International Court of Justice to make legal determinations on matters of international law with regard to questions posed to it by the General Assembly. Our abstention in no way represents a challenge to the authority of the Court.
At the same time, while recognizing the improvements that the approved draft contains as compared to the first draft circulated by the State of Palestine, the resolution still goes beyond, in some respects, the determinations of the court, such as, for example, the imposition of sanctions and the indication of strict deadlines for the withdrawal of Israel's presence in the OPTs. More in general, in order for the court's legal determinations to be implemented on the ground, we must create the conditions under which such implementation becomes possible and real. Let us not forget that the need to create the conditions for the respect of international law is stated in the very preamble of the Charter, and it is one of the key functions of the United Nations. We believe that for the international community and for the UN, there is no shortcut to a two-state negotiated solution in which both Israel and Palestine and their people live side by side in full security within mutually agreed, recognized borders in line with the relevant Security Council's resolutions and international law. Given these considerations, Italy firmly believes that all efforts must now focus on facilitating renewed negotiations between Israel and the Palestine Authority, aimed at rebuilding trust and fostering dialogue. These are the key parties responsible for driving the peace process forward. The international community must remain steadfast in supporting this effort, with the clear objective of achieving a political and security framework that will bring a lasting end to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and lay down a viable roadmap towards a two-state solution. There is no more urgent moment than now. Indeed, we are already behind. Italy stands ready to take concrete steps and dedicate its resources to ensuring that the two-state solution evolves from a long-standing aspiration into a practical and achievable outcome. I thank you.
I thank Italy and give the floor to Germany.
Madam President, I have the honor to speak on behalf of Germany. Today's meeting is about the right of the Palestinian people to live in their own state, in dignity and in recognition of the State of Israel. Germany has fought for the two-state solution for very long. We have repeatedly condemned that the prospects of a two-state solution are being undermined by the expansion of Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories and the violence perpetrated by radical Israeli settlers. The ICJ advisory opinion addresses this. The ICJ stated that the State of Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territory is unlawful and that Israel is under an obligation to bring it to an end as rapidly as possible. It clearly calls on the United Nations and its members to not recognize the status quo and to consider modalities and further action to bring an end to it. This is a very far-reaching task that we must take very seriously. We therefore regret the narrow time frame between the presentation of the draft resolution and its adoption today. We would also have wished that the resolution followed the conclusions of the ICJ more closely. Unfortunately, the resolution goes beyond the scope of the advisory opinion in several points. Instead of setting unrealistic timeframes, it would have been advisable to emphasize more strongly that the parties need to resolve their differences through direct talks. The resolution also fails to spell out that the ICJ's advisory opinion does not cover events after October 7, 2023, the brutal terror attack carried out by Hamas, the taking of hostages, and the Israeli response since then. It should in no way undermine ongoing diplomatic efforts. We disagree with provisions that do not acknowledge the right of Israel to ensure its security and the safety of its population. The ICJ did not limit this right in any way in its advisory opinion. We regret that the resolution blurs the lines between this advisory opinion and other legal procedures addressing the situation in Gaza. Madam President, the resolution has been adopted today. For the reasons outlined, Germany abstained. Let there be no doubt that we respect the ICJ's advisory opinion, that we will act in line with the obligations of international law set out in it, and that we are ready to assist in its implementation in its entirety to achieve justice and lasting peace and security for both Israelis and Palestinians. We don't always agree amongst us. Here at the United Nations, we come together to seek solutions. International law is what unites us. It is the cornerstone of our international order and must be respected. When it is not, peace and security will not prevail. Our position on the Middle East is clear. The only way to reach a lasting and comprehensive peace is a negotiated two-state solution. The only way to get there is through direct negotiations between the two parties. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank Germany and give the floor to Kiribati.
Madam President, Kiribati abstained on resolution A/ES-10/L.31/Rev.1, in line with our long-standing stance on this long-standing Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The following lays out our rationale for abstaining. Madam President, while we fully respect and honor the ICJ's findings, advisory opinion, and recommendations to the Security Council and the General Assembly, with respect to the current Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and while we fully support the admission of Palestine as soon as possible to the full membership of the United Nations and the two-state solution to the conflict that have been agreed, Kiribati is of the view that lasting peace between Israel and Palestine cannot be realized by simply turning the advisory opinion and recommendations into a court order, as attempted by the resolution, requiring only one party to the conflict to play its part without requiring the other party to play its part as well. Peace between two conflicting parties can only be achieved if the two parties can come together, genuinely ready to forgive and forget the wrongs of the past, and move forward with a new sense of friendship, cooperation, and good neighborliness. My delegation hopes to see the two-state solution being implemented by the Security Council and the General Assembly as quickly as possible, using the mechanisms articulated under the Pacific Settlement of Dispute enshrined under Chapter 6 of the Charter of the United Nations. Mr. President, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict remains a significant challenge for global peace and security. Kiribati firmly believes that a sustainable and just resolution can only be achieved through the framework of a two-state solution where the Israel and Palestine can coexist peacefully within secure and recognized borders. Kiribati is mindful of the complexities and sensitivities that accompany this long-standing conflict. As a small island nation, believing so much in peace, and we're a very peaceful nation, we value peace, dialogue, and respect for international law. While recognizing the importance of these legal principles, Kiribati has also taken a balanced approach in this matter. While we continue to search for a full understanding of this long and complex conflict, with roots and causes stretching back to the days the Arab world was ruled by colonial powers, empires, we have opted to abstain from recent votes in the General Assembly on resolutions related to this conflict. Our abstention reflects our belief that both parties must come to the table in a spirit of compromise and mutual respect. We remain hopeful that diplomatic efforts, guided by the Charter, international law, and principle of justice, can eventually lead to a resolution that benefits both peoples and promotes lasting peace in the region. Madam President, in closing, Kiribati reaffirms its commitment to the two-state solution and calls on the international community to support efforts towards a peaceful and just settlement of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We believe that the sooner the two-state solution is progressed and implemented, the sooner lasting peace and happiness can become a living human reality for the peoples of Israel and the peoples of Palestine and for the peoples of the Middle East. I thank you.
I thank Kiribati. Now I give the floor to Ecuador.
Gracias, señora.
Thank you, Madam President. 24 years ago in September of 2000, member states of this organization adopted the Millennium Declaration, in which we collectively decided, and I quote, consolidate respect and supremacy of law in international and national relations, and in particular to make sure that member states comply with the decisions of the International Court of Justice in line with the UN Charter in resolving their disputes between parties, end of quote. On the 19th of July, the International Court of Justice, at the request of this assembly, issued an advisory opinion on the legal consequences of the policies and practices of Israel on Palestinian occupied territories, which is, although not legally binding, represent something that contributes to upholding international law and in international relations. The court decided that it was up to this assembly to establish specific modalities to put an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory and to study which additional measures could be taken for this goal. And so the General Assembly, in considering a text proposed by Palestine, which reflects much of what is suggested by the International Court of Justice, has proposed a set of new measures. Ecuador, just as 24 years ago, is making all efforts to uphold international law and contribute to the peaceful resolution of disputes, and therefore supports and upholds the decisions of the International Court of Justice. Madam President, Ecuador shares the views of the court that the fulfillment of the Palestinian right to self-determination, including its right to a sovereign independent state living in peace with Israel within secure borders internationally recognized as contemplated by the resolutions of the Security Council and the General Assembly, will contribute to regional stability and the security of all states. Our actions and decisions must seek to bring us closer to this goal. This is why, even before the court issued its advisory opinion, Ecuador, through its votes both in the Security Council and in this assembly, has maintained its historic position in favor of the two-state solution. Also, Ecuador has invariably condemned the terrorist attacks perpetrated by Hamas on the 7th of October and demanded the immediate release of all hostages, as it is doing now once again. At this opportunity, the new measures proposed that are not a part of the opinion is what weighed in our decision on the vote. And in particular for Ecuador, the timetable in operative paragraph 2 is artificial. This is why Ecuador abstained while we reaffirm our support for a political, peaceful, and just solution based on the two-state solution within the 1967 borders, in line with the relevant resolutions and the UN Charter. Lastly, Ecuador considers that the current moment is ripe to promote negotiations to ensure the stability, security, and well-being of both Palestinians and Israelis. We must avoid any action that brings us farther away from the possibility of resolving the conflict. Thank you.
I thank Ecuador. We have heard the last speaker in explanation of vote after the vote for this meeting. We shall hear the remaining speakers in explanation of vote after the vote this afternoon at 3 p.m. in this hall, to be followed by the resumption of the debate on agenda item 5. The meeting is adjourned.